Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now we'll ask if conservative bias contributed to 60 Minutes' erroneous report last month on the Benghazi, Libya terrorist attack. As you may have seen, 60 Minutes aired a rare apology on Sunday night for their story from October 27th about a security officer named Dylan Davies who had claimed that he rushed to the Benghazi compound during the incident on September 11th, 2011, in which U.S. Ambassador Christopher Stevens and three other Americans were killed. Davies claimed on the show, among other things, that he rifle-butted an al-Qaeda fighter in the face and saw Ambassador Stevens at the hospital. Now it appears he wasn't there at all based on what he separately told the FBI. There's also a book published by Simon & Schuster, which is owned by CBS, which has now been recalled by Davies, the discredited source. CBS correspondent Lara Logan, who reported the story, issued this 90-second apology on 60 Minutes.
We end our broadcast tonight with a correction on a story we reported October 27th about the attack on the American Special Mission compound in Benghazi, in which Ambassador Chris Stevens and three other Americans were killed. In the story, a security officer working for the State Department, Dylan Davies, told us he went to the compound during the attack and detailed his role that night. After our report aired, questions arose about whether his account was true when an incident report surfaced. It told a different story about what he did the night of the attack. Davies denied having anything to do with that incident report and insisted the story he told us was not only accurate, it was the same story he told the FBI when they interviewed him. On Thursday night, when we discovered the account he gave the FBI was different than what he told us, we realized we had been misled, and it was a mistake to include him in our report. For that, we are very sorry. The most important thing to every person at 60 Minutes is the truth, and the truth is we made a mistake. I'm Lara Logan. We'll be back next week with another edition of 60 Minutes.
The apology on 60 Minutes Sunday by the correspondent who reported the story, Lara Logan. The last time 60 Minutes had to issue such an apology was 9 years ago for the story about George W. Bush's National Guard service, remember that, in which they retracted and which wound up in the end of Dan Rather's CBS career. At that time, charges of liberal bias helped drive the scandal. Now there are charges of conservative bias being raised by liberal media watchdogs like the Soros-funded Media Matters for America. Eric Bollert, senior fellow with Media Matters, joins us now. He is a former Salon correspondent and author of Bloggers on the Bus, How the Internet Changed Politics and the Press. Hi, Eric. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, Brian. How are you?
Okay. How explicitly are you charging anyone at CBS with conservative bias in connection with the Dylan Davies story?
Oh, actually, we don't really get into the bias business. I mean, I know that conservatives have used that to bash the press for years. We don't really deal with that because, to me, us, you know, claiming bias is you're trying to reading someone's mind. Why did you do this? Why did you misreport? Why did you misinform people? We're claiming just awful journalism. We're claiming the story was flawed from conception. This idea that there are still all sorts of lingering questions about what happened in Benghazi, flawed in the execution. You just ran through everything that was wrong with it and all the allegations. The denials afterwards, you know, sticking with this story for 12 days when the red flags were all over the place, and now refusing to appoint an independent review to try to get to the bottom. How did CBS spend a year? That was their defense for the first week. Well, we spent a year on this story. How do you spend a year on a story where almost nothing is accurate? National Guard, a controversy, they appointed an independent review. They took 3 months. They interviewed 66 people. They issued a 200-page report. 4 people were fired. Dan Rather lost his job. 60 Minutes, too, was canceled. for Benghazi, we get a 90-second correction at the end of the show.
Right.
There seems to be a pretty big difference between how CBS is dealing with this.
But on the question of right-left agendas, the New York Times article on this notes, in 2004, there were accusations of liberal bias and unrelenting coverage of the controversy on conservative websites driven by the right's long animus toward Dan Rather. This time, conservatives initially trumpeted the 60 Minutes report. Media Matters, your group, which has sought to defend the Obama administration from what it calls the Benghazi hoax, promoted by conservative media, noticed an early red flag on this story on October 28th, and quotes one of your officials as saying, this report became priority number one, two, and three. Your president, Bradley Baichuk. So obviously, Media Matters exists with a political agenda in mind, and this is why you're jumping on it. Is there something about Lara Logan you don't like?
We didn't like the report she produced on Benghazi. It was flawed from beginning to end. Media Matters has been fact-checking the Benghazi story for 13, 14 months. We have been right every step of the way. So you're right in the fact that this is a political story, and it's politically charged. Lindsey Graham, the day after the CBS report aired, was on Fox News, you know, touting it, saying, this is why I'm going to block every nominee that President Obama puts forward until I get answers about Benghazi. Fox News, the Monday after, spent nearly an hour throughout the day talking about the 60 Minutes report. 60 Minutes knew this was going to be a politically charged report. They knew it was going to be embraced by the Republican Party and the right-wing media. So, yeah, there are clearly politics involved, and Media Matters is an openly liberal and progressive group, and we're in the business of fact-checking, and we're in the business of not letting misinformation stand and not let it spread to places like CBS. And now they're having to deal with the pain of what happens when you try to sort of wade into those right-wing conspiracies like Benghazi, and there are lingering questions and things like that.
Logan has been outspoken about her feelings on U.S.-Afghanistan war policy. We played a clip yesterday from a speech last year in which she said, after we leave Afghanistan, the terrorists there will follow us home, kind of implicitly arguing, if not explicitly, against the Obama administration withdrawal plans. And in that speech, she also spent about 40 seconds on Benghazi, and here are those 40 seconds.
And when I look at what's happening in Libya, there's a big song and dance about whether this was a terrorist attack or a protest, and you just want to scream, for God's sake. Are you kidding me? The last time we were attacked like this was the USS Cole, which was a prelude to the 1998 embassy bombings, which was a prelude to 9/11. And you're sending in FBI to investigate. I hope to God that you're sending in your best clandestine warriors who are going to exact revenge and let the world know that the United States will not be attacked on its own soil, that its ambassadors will not be murdered, and the United States will not stand by and do nothing about it.
Lara Logan last year. So does that indicate to you that Logan has a political agenda? Without getting into all the details of Benghazi,
yeah,
it is still a fact that it was a terrorist attack. And 5 days later, Obama administration officials were still saying publicly that their best information was that it was related to protests. But, you know, do you have a criticism of her as a reporter who has an agenda?
Well, it's clear that she felt strongly about Benghazi, and it simply raises the question, did she start reporting this Benghazi story with a predetermined idea of the story she wanted to tell? You know, I wrote about late last week, Jeff Fager, the head of CBS News and still the executive producer of 60 Minutes, when he was appointed the president of news in 2011, he gave a couple of speeches at journalism schools and things. He talked about the National Guard story. He said that the reason that was a problem is because the 60 Minutes team that did it had a predetermined idea. They wanted to tell a certain story. They left out mitigating factors, and he said that always leads to disaster. And here we are 9 years after that, and it seems to have been exactly what happened. It seems that there were a team within 60 minutes that wanted to do this Benghazi piece, wanted to do a gotcha piece, and when this fake witness came along, this sort of charlatan, who was also peddling a book being sold by a CBS subsidiary, they said, aha, you know, there's an angle. You know, you played the Logan apology. She said, well, we shouldn't have used this eyewitness in our report. The eyewitness was the entire report. You know, if he didn't exist, 60 Minutes didn't have an episode. So they wanted to tell for whatever reason, and this is why they need a review. Why was this sort of this myopic zeal to tell this story? Why weren't the red flags raised? Who oversaw it? Who looked at the scripts? Did Jeff Fager sign off on the final episode? But again, as of right now, CBS will not do an independent review. They don't want anyone coming in and looking at it. And so we're still left with
And you're questions. Saying double standard compared to the Rather story.
Absolutely. That independent review was overseen by former Republican Attorney General Richard Thornburg. They had access to notes, to emails, to all the employees. That was the epitome of transparency, and everyone applauded it. We are seeing the exact opposite. We are seeing hunkering down, and we're going to weather out the storm. And they said to the Washington Post, we're not talking about this anymore.
We'll play one more clip now. This is more of Lara Logan explaining how it happened. There was only that 90-second apology on 60 Minutes that we aired. And then she went on the CBS morning show the next day, yesterday morning, and said this about how they vetted Dylan Davies before airing the story.
Well, we verified and confirmed that he was who he said he was working for the State Department at the time, that he was in Benghazi at the Special Mission Compound the night of the attack, and that, you know, he showed us, he gave us access to communications he had with U.S. government officials. We used U.S. government reports and congressional testimony to verify many of the details of his story, and everything checked out. He also showed us photographs that he had taken at the Special Mission Compound the following morning. And, you know, we take the vetting of sources and stories very seriously. And we took it seriously in this case. But we were misled and we were wrong. And that's the important thing. That's what we have to say here. We have to set the record straight and take responsibility.
Lara Logan on the morning show on CBS yesterday. So before we run out of time, Eric Bullard from Media Matters. Has CBS responded to your calls and some of the other people who have also been calling for a more thorough investigation in the last few days?
No, they've given no indication they're going to do that. Nobody is going to be reprimanded. You know, Logan just said, well, we confirmed he was at the compound. How did they confirm he wasn't there? And really the straw that broke this back was New York Times late last week. CBS was saying, well, we know he told two different stories, but he told the same story to us that he told to the FBI. And then the New York Times went to the FBI and said, you know, is this true? And they had a couple of sources, and they found his incident report. He said, no. He told the FBI he wasn't at the embassy. So how did CBS do absolutely zero reporting? They didn't check with the FBI. They didn't check with the State Department. You know, none of it makes sense. I mean, it's some of the worst journalism we've seen on a major network news magazine in years.
Jeff Fager himself said this is one of the biggest mistakes in the history of 60 Minutes.
And yet, he doesn't want to have an independent review. The problem is Jeff Fager is also the executive producer at 60 Minutes, as well as being the head of CBS News. The National Guard story, the executive producer of 60 Minutes 2 was fired after that. Jeff Fager is the executive producer of 60 Minutes who oversaw whoever saw the Benghazi report. I assume if there was an independent review, he might not survive. Is that why they're not going to have an independent review? There's all kinds of questions still lingering. But CBS News, they've decided they're just going to take it rather than answer the questions, which only makes you wonder, what are they hiding? What is so bad about this report?
Eric Bullard, Senior Fellow with Media Matters for America, thanks for joining us.
Talk to you soon.